Katie Dalton gets to work by 8 o'clock in the morning. She walks into her cubicle, and she hasn't even set her bag on the desk when the phone rings. It's some troubling news about a client.
Hi, how are you?
Dalton learns the client hasn't been making her appointments with a parenting coach. The coach wants to drop her from the program, but Dalton pleads for more time. She says she'll talk to her client about sticking with it when she sees her later today. But right now, she has to get organized for a busy day. She juggles nearly 20 cases at a time, well over the nationally recommended target of 14.
Which is the most challenging part from my perspective of the job, because the caseload is not manageable. It's crisis intervention and doing the best you can, but really the quality casework that we should be doing to effectively work with the families, you can't accommodate on a daily basis because it's just too demanding and overwhelming.
Turnover among caseworkers like Dalton at DCYF is high, nearly 25%. It's easy to understand why. Caseworkers deal with child abuse and neglect. Their clients are in crisis. They try to cobble together the right services to heal broken families, but sometimes those families fall apart. Dalton is a petite 36-year-old. She's been at this job for nearly a decade. She loves it, despite the stress and too many clients. As the clock nears 8:30, she gathers her paperwork, and then it's back downstairs and out the door to get to her first appointment. She takes her own car because there aren't enough agency vehicles to go around, and she brings her own cell phone because the agency doesn't provide them. Her first stop is an apartment in Pawtucket to check in on the mother of a 9-month-old. Dalton's client smiles and invites her in. We're not using any names to protect her family's privacy. The client sits on her pink bedspread, and Dalton pulls up a chair.
So explain to me what's going on during the week. What, you're doing the SIR program?
Yes. Yeah,
Dalton is asking about a job training program. That's part of the plan she's drawn up for this client to help her support her daughter on her own. The goal is to make sure the child can stay with her mom, but her father is a registered sex offender, and the client is struggling to accept the terms of a court order that bars them from living together. Dalton says they can arrange a supervised visit.
On like a Thursday or a Friday afternoon, because you should have her.
Dalton remains calm, professional, matter-of-fact throughout the visit. She's worried about this client's progress, but she can't stay any longer because she has to get to her next appointment.
So we're now going to this particular client's mother's home. She's having some work done on her apartment, so she's asked if we meet her at her mother's home.
Dalton says the next client is an 18-year-old single mother. It's the same client she got a call about first thing this morning. The client experienced domestic violence, her 3-year-old son witnessed it, and then the young woman was hospitalized for depression. Now she's trying to get back on her feet.
Her case is relatively new, so she's just starting out with a few programs. So she has a home-based program with a worker that will come weekly, and they really tailor the program to the needs of the client. So her housing is stable, she just moved into her apartment, but being so young, she might need some help with, like, budgeting.
She's resisting appointments with a parenting coach and a domestic violence counselor. Dalton gets out of her car and knocks on the client's front door. The apartment is on the first floor of a tidy but aging white house in Pawtucket.
Say hi.
Dalton and her client take a seat on the big brown sectional while the client's little boy watches. He slugs juice from a bottle and his eyes are wide at all these strangers in his living room.
I think it might be helpful for you to get some of that information, too.
So do you think, like, I should stay with him?
You kind of have to.
I have to? She told me that it was...
It's voluntary.
Yeah,
it's voluntary, but when we...
So then it doesn't... So it means that I don't have to if it's voluntary.
So let me explain how that works.
Dalton explains that the parenting and domestic violence counselors are voluntary, but not really. To keep her son, she has to comply. But the client wants DCYF out of her life so she can focus on the future.
By the time I'm 30, I don't want to be doing the same thing, working for $9 an hour. That's really not my thing. Like, I really believe, like, everybody's check should say $1,005,000 every week.
No one would argue with that. But even with all the money in the world, she'd still need to satisfy DCYF's requirements to keep custody of her son. And the clock is ticking. There are federally mandated deadlines for DCYF and their clients to meet. Back in her office, DCYF caseworker Katie Dalton says she believes this little boy is safe, but the combination of a young, single mother, their poverty, and experiencing trauma so young puts him at risk for a slew of bad outcomes. If she had more time, Dalton says she could do a better job addressing those risk factors. But with so many cases, she has to prioritize.
Above all, what we have to do is worry about safety of the kids, so that's the number one thing that we're doing. We also have to work towards permanency and worry about the kids' well-being. Those are come secondary to safety. Obviously, we need to make sure that all the kids are safe. But in doing that, in the constant crisis management, you can't effectively do the casework that the case requires.
Meanwhile, caseloads get heavier for social workers like Dalton. The number of calls about suspected child abuse or neglect has been rising, and DCYF already finds it difficult to hold on to staff. Agency officials know it's a problem. Part of the overhaul plan for DCYF includes boosting employee morale, but they're dealing with so many other issues, caseloads may have to wait. Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.